better, smarter, faster. The future of connected healthcare relies on a powerful digital ecosystem and robust neural network to drive better diagnostics, intelligent operations, and seamless care anywhere. Join us as we talk to the experts about transformational roadmaps for this evolving landscape. What's working, what's needed, and how we get there together. Welcome to Healthcare on Air, presented by Verizon.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Healthcare on Air by Verizon. I'm your host, Robin Goldsmith. And as you can see, we are back at the Vive Conference here in Los Angeles, California, really where folks come together to share innovation from across the healthcare ecosystem. I'm super excited to have a guest here today that's really focused on this idea of the connected patient room, patient experience, really this evolution of care delivery in a hospital environment. With that said, James Fitter, CEO of OneView, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having us, Robert. Good to be here.
I couldn't think of a better guest to really, that's been working in this space. But before we dive into the conversation, a little bit about you and OneView for our audience.
Sure. So my name's James. I've been the CEO of OneView now for just over 11 years. I'm a newbie to healthcare. 11 years feels like a real reasonably long time, but it's been an interesting journey to say the least. So I grew up in the financial world for my sins. I'm a recovering banker. Spent best part of a decade on Wall Street, and then was lucky enough to meet a couple of really interesting customers of mine who ran a big family office, and they asked me to come along and help them manage their family fortune, which was a great experience. And they taught me an awful lot about how to invest and the importance of patience and courage when you're investing. And you need both of these things. You need both of these things in healthcare. They really kind of set me up to land on this journey, which was, as often in life, was a really random experience. So after spending 25 years in finance, I was kind of wondering what the next thing was. And my wife's Irish. We'd moved back. We'd been traveling around the world. We'd lived in a bunch of different places. And we wanted our kids to grow up in Ireland. We have four kids, including triplets. And randomly, they're partially responsible for me getting into healthcare because I was invited to a dinner party in Dublin, Ireland, where the company's based. And I was sitting next to the founder of OneView Healthcare. And he says to me, are you an Australian? I said, I am, actually. I said, what do you do? He said, finance. And he said, great, we need to talk. I said, why is that? He said, well, he said, I've got this this patient engagement company. We've just won a potential customer down in Australia, but we need a bit of help to fund the company. So I said, of course, what's patient engagement? What's patient experience? And he said, look, let's not talk about it at dinner. He said, why don't you come in and we'll give you a demo of the product. So this is back in 2012. Came in, saw the product, and immediately I was kind of like, wow, this seems like, I'm sort of surprised this kind of thing doesn't exist already.
Yeah.
And for him, the genesis of the evolution of the product for him had been flying on an airplane and wondering why he had all these digital tools at 36,000 feet. He then had a healthcare experience, like so many founders seem to do, had a bad knee, went to hospital in Dublin, and was just shocked at how bereft the room was of technology. So he built the foundations of this product, and at that time we were a 10-person startup. We had great ambitions and a big dream. And Mark was great. He invited me to help him get the business funded, which we did. And 3.5 years later, we became a public company. It was valued at $200 million. So it was pretty wild and exciting ride. And I guess if I was smart, I might have said, listen, my work is done here. I'm moving on. But of course, I fell in love with what we do. And I think there's a real mission and value with so many of the companies here. I think we all feel we're doing something that's really important. Yeah. And that's certainly how we feel about it.
You brought up a lot of good nuggets there. I mean, first of all, the lack of, you know, this antiquated experience in the patient room that we've all experienced. I mean, literally nurses with markers on whiteboards. Yep. What your product set is doing, it's bringing that antiquated technology into the modern age.
It is. It is.
Way overdue. Yeah. I ask that question a lot of why haven't we done this prior?
Yeah.
And my next question is, how much of this was fueled by what we saw in the pandemic to really make these changes that have been needed for a long time?
Yeah, good question. So look, we were very fortunate that our first customer in the United States was UCSF, University of California, San Fran.
Great system.
Great system, really helped us understand what the expectations of delivering enterprise software are going to be like in the US market. It was back in 2014. And I think, you know, pre-pandemic, I think systems like UCSF, NYU Langone, BJC, some of our flagship customers, they really saw this as a competitive differentiation. It was a kind of the wow factor when you come into the room.
Yep.
You know, you're in Silicon Valley, you kind of have as an expectation for your patients and customers that they're going to have technology at the bedside. So I think pre-pandemic, what we were doing was still seen as a bit of a nice to have technology. It was the real innovators were adopting it, but we weren't getting that mainstream adoption. Now, the conversation really changed during the pandemic. First thing we said to everyone is, what can we do to help? And they all said, look, it'd be really cool if you could turn on some sort of video capability on the tablet, whether it be, you know, Teams, Zoom, Cisco, Jabber, you know, we could care less. We just need a way to be able to communicate with our patients. And you'll remember the PPE crisis. How do we save PPE? Well, one of the ways we can do that is allowing the care team to communicate with the patients from outside the room. So we do all those integrations pro bono, which was great. It carried a lot of favor, but it also, I think for a lot of them, that was a bit of a Band-Aid solution. You might remember all those kind of harrowing situations where nurses were brokering, you know, literally end-of-life conversations with loved ones.
I was just going to go
on there. Yeah, on
the tablet.
Based on, yeah. I mean, terrible stuff. So it also catalyzed a change in conversation around what is the role of video in patient care. Obviously in all of our lives, it's changed dramatically. I don't think anywhere it's changed more dramatically because, you know, sadly, we went into the pandemic with a global nursing shortage, which has only been exacerbated by the challenges and the frustrations. So I think we really have an important role here where we act as the conduit. Think of us as like the enterprise app store at the bedside, where we can bring different virtual care capabilities into the patient room. We've kind of made a conscious decision. We didn't want to build our own virtual care platform. There's so many great ones out there.
Mm-hmm.
We want to give our customers the freedom of choosing which of those we support. So we have an open API, and that's given us, I think, great conversation to have with customers around who they're using today, who they might be using in the future. We don't want them to be locked into a single vendor.
So you can, through your platform, and one thing that I've heard from you is we can take existing, you know, televisions, infrastructure that's there and put this platform, which is really like a modernization of the patient room. I mean, I spent a lot of time with this connected hospital of the future, which, you know, you're very much aligned with this modern environment, which is tablet at the bedside, screen-based technology, camera, to ensure that those nurses don't have to go scramble for a tablet so that they can have a patient family, you know, conversation happen in a dire consequence. So I love that idea of you don't have to buy all new stuff.
No.
You can use existing infrastructure and to your other main point, which I love, is all these, you know, tasks that our care teams do, bring me a blanket, I need some water, can you turn down the temperature, all those things can be done through your platform.
Yeah, well, we call that a nurse call event save, right? In a time when nurses are really struggling just from burden of workforce, anything that we can do to liberate them, to allow them to focus on delivering high quality care is gold. So whether it's 3 minutes, 5 minutes, in some cases 10 minutes, we free up. You know, nurse call systems are somewhat, obviously it's a legal requirement to have one, but it's kind of one directional. It's, you know, what does the patient want? And of course the nurse's disposition has to be, it's an emergency, so they come running down the hall to find out James just wanted a glass of water. So, great utilization here. And to your point around TVs, you know, pretty much every hospital in the world has a TV in the room. We think
could
of
be
that,
from the 60s.
Yeah, often is, sadly. We think of that as a pane of glass that we can innovate on. So we put a compute device behind the TV that allows us to standardize on the hospital's existing infrastructure.
Yeah.
We want to try and, you know, lessen the hardware burden for them as best we can. So that's been really powerful. So now we have a scenario where patient might be watching the ball game. They suddenly get an integration. We get a message from the telehealth provider that says the clinician wants to take control of the TV. Mm. We pass control over the air. Yeah. They remote in. We pause the entertainment experience in the background. We now can have a two-way customer conversation between the patient and the provider, and that's gold.
Right?
If we can, it's not rocket science, but it's getting that right every single time is really, really important.
Yeah, I've got a lot of thoughts and questions for you, James. But so one of the uses of your platform, I'm assuming, is if I have a grandmother, older parent, loved one that's in that bed that a doctor's talking to, wouldn't it be amazing if their son or daughter could listen in and be another set of eyes and ears because, you know, maybe a cognitive impairment loved one, they need someone to be a second set of eyes.
Correct.
That's a great use case.
Exactly, use case. And the great thing about the innovation in the telehealth space is almost every one of the telehealth providers provides that capability now, where either the patient or the clinician can bring in a third party family member for that conversation. Another really powerful use case, again, very simple use case, but really impactful, is around virtual remote interpretation, because so many patients, their language is not, first language is not English. Yep. You know, when that law changed back in 6 or 7 years ago, what was spawned out of that were a lot of video remote interpretation companies, but they were point applications. So they would come to the hospital and say, listen, we're going to sell you a tablet with our app on it. You're going to have a workstation on wheels. You have to find a way to store it. You're going to charge it. We said, listen, guys, we're in every room already. Why don't we just host that app on our platform? Yeah. So the platform concept is really powerful. And I think that's another great use case.
I hope you'll agree, I think healthcare among finance, retail, all these verticals, healthcare, I think, always got a pass from consumers.
Yeah.
And I think with these digital first people, younger generations coming up, expecting that they should have what they can have at 35,000 feet, like you mentioned, or in their home, voice-activated technologies, screen-based technologies where they can have entertainment, have a video conferencing with that. All the things we can do in our home should be in a state-of-the-art billion-dollar healthcare facility, right?
I would think so, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do you think it is that now we're not giving that pass? I mean, is it COVID that accelerated this?
I think so. I mean, I think, you know, generationally, I think our parents' generations who are in their 80s typically, they had to, during the pandemic, they had to start using digital tools, whether it was for banking or ordering a meal. They were isolated. They had to embrace that. So we actually had a really interesting data point from a customer in Australia where we had a 102-year-old patient order a digital meal the other day, which is cool. So, look, the future is coming. It's taken longer than I would have thought humanly possible. But it's really exciting. And I think we're starting to see the fruits of that labor now.
Absolutely. I didn't want to forget to ask you this. We're at Vive. You've got a big announcement. I'd love for you to share it here.
We have. Well, look, thank you. Thank you. We're today launching our MyStay mobile product on a patient smartphone. So everything we just talked about up until now has really facilitated our customers putting a tablet, a hospital-supplied tablet, in the patient room. And whilst that sounds like a pretty simple task, that room, we need to know, in order to customize the experience, we need to know that that is a specific tablet in that room. So the tablet has to be mounted. It can be mounted on an articulated arm that's on the head wall or the ceiling.
Yep.
It can be mounted on a meal tray. But that incurs real capital cost, because whilst the tablet is pretty affordable, by the time we put it in a case, we install the arm. If you don't install the arm, there's cost associated with that. The arm itself costs $1,000. In a union labor market, it could cost $1,000 to install that arm.
Times a couple hundred rooms.
Exactly. And often you've got to close that room in a operating hospital. You've got to shut that room down in order to do that. So that's been the biggest barrier to our growth, because everyone who sees the software goes, oh my God, it's amazing. When can we have it?
Yeah.
And then, of course, we used to end up in the capital budget because we've got to find $3,000 a room in order to enable that capability. So for the last few years, well, in fact, as long as 6 or 7 years ago, our customers saying, why can't the patient just use their own phone? So today we are launching the capability for the first time for the patients to access everything we do on the tablet is now available on the patient's own device. And that is a game changer for so many reasons.
Yeah.
That we're super excited about. And you know, we spent 6 months doing market research. NYU Langone, the number one health system in New York State, is our co-designer.
My health system?
Yeah.
Big fan?
Fantastic health system. And having them as a co-design partner has been fantastic. So we've gone live this month in the first of NYU's hospitals in Long Island. And today we are launching to the US market for the first time the commercial availability on MyStay Mobile.
I mean, I think for older folks, probably that's not needed, but like you said, digital first natives, they're comfortable with their phone. They don't want to use another tablet. So I think it's genius what you're doing. And you're also, you know, the capital expenditure is not as much as, you know, back those arms and all the infrastructure.
One thing I've learned in healthcare is you never want to be in the capital budget, right? And that's not because people don't want to do patient experience. It's just there's competing priorities. And maybe we need a new Da Vinci robot. We need to upgrade our MRI machines. It's always like, listen, we love you guys, but we have to defer it for another year. Yeah. And that, of course, is delaying innovation for the patient, which I think is a real shame. So, look, we've got a really cool group of technologists and product team back in Dublin who designed this with a lot of thought into it. Our vision is that every patient will order their meals every day on their own phone. Now, right now, that's paper. I mean, you'd be shocked how many hospitals to this day. We're in an enterprise.
Check the box on my paper and, you know.
We're in an enterprise conversation with a large health system here in the US that says just by moving from paper menus to giving patients the ability to order meals on their own phone could save $2.5 billion a year. Now, Omaha Kids is our kind of flagship customer for meal ordering. They've got 95% of their meals are being ordered every day on the OneView platform. And they've just published a white paper showing an 87% reduction in food wastage. I mean, that's real money.
And time.
And time.
It's all the coordination. It's just more seamless.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the, thank you for the overview on OneView. I think from your perspective as a technology vendor, partner, by 2024, what are you seeing that you're most excited about?
Yeah, well, I haven't seen a stand yet. I don't think it hasn't got AI written on it.
So of course.
The AI revolution is here. And like every other company, we're obviously trying to understand how we can best deploy that. So I applied for and was accepted to do a year's course at Oxford University in the UK, an AI for Business course, which I just had the first in-person week.
Did you actually do the course at the Radcliffe, the iconic?
It's right next to the John Radcliffe Hospital. Yeah, amazing. That's pretty cool. Yeah. So we had our first in-person week. It's a week, a quarter in person. And it was pretty mind-boggling to hear from some of the leading minds in the world how they're thinking about AI. And obviously there's so many different iterations here. So what we've done as a company internally, we've adopted everything you'd expect in terms of how do we operate and drive operational efficiency using tools. I like this kind of analogy that, you know, ChatGPT-4, by its own admission, has an IQ of 140. You know, our average human has an IQ of 100. So as one of our professors said, listen, if we could give every staff member a personal assistant with an IQ of 140, think about that, how that could liberate them to really, I think, free them up for creative thinking. Because I think, you know, in any innovation, any software company, it's the creativity that really drives the future. So we see a great opportunity to drive efficiency internally. And then, of course, we've got a bunch of use cases we're looking at in our product, which we're not ready to share with the market just yet, but we think there's some pretty exciting conversations to be had.
Absolutely. I'm going to assume, make an assumption here, but a lot of that AI is looking at potentially picking up things that can be prevented.
Correct. Computer vision is the obvious use case. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. James, thank you so much. I'm super excited about what you're doing with this connected patient room and modernizing these patient experiences that have needed to be modernized for many, many years. So thank you for being here today.
Pleasure.
And thank you everyone for watching. If you want to access any of our content, you can go to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. You can catch us on Healthcare on Air by Verizon. And until next time, take care.